But this morning we want to turn our minds and thoughts back to the Sermon on the Mount. Some time ago we began this series of lessons looking at the things that Jesus teaches in these three chapters of the book of Matthew. And we started with the last few verses of chapter 4, where it says He was preaching around about in the region, and He was going about preaching and teaching the gospel of the kingdom. And all the things that we have seen as we have gone through these three chapters have been things that Jesus was impressing upon His disciples and those who were listening to Him that they need to put into practice in their lives. Attitudes, actions, thoughts, and processes if they want to be a part of His kingdom. And over the last several lessons, as we've looked each month, we've seen the drawing forth to the being prepared for eternity. And of course, I kind of connected with that last song. I can't feel at home in this world anymore because I'm looking forward to there. And I hope that that kind of thought process and attitude continues to build, because I think it's important for us to put our hopes and our dreams in eternity. And of course, Jesus makes some statements in those last couple of teachings and parables that He gives that remind us that it is important for us to follow Him completely. And that brings us to the reaction of these listeners as Jesus preaches to them there and teaches to them this gospel of the kingdom. They are amazed at the way in which He speaks. He speaks with such authority. Authority like they had not heard from their teachers in the past. And I think that comes out when we go back and look through some of the things that He has to say. And we're not going to do a complete review of what we've already gone over in these lessons, but I want us to consider some things from what He teaches there in Matthew chapter 5 and Matthew chapter 6, and it carries on into Matthew chapter 7 as well. But throughout Matthew chapter 5, we see the phrase, "But I say." And that's an authoritative statement. In other words, it is, no matter what you have heard before, you need to listen to Me. And I think that's part of what caused this reaction in His listeners. Jesus spoke in a commanding manner several times in chapter 5. We see that phrase, "You have heard," or "It has been said." "But I say," in particular in the latter part of that chapter, verse 22, verse 28, verse 32, verse 34, verse 39, and verse 44, all have this idea of, "I say this." And it's not a suggestion, it's a statement of command. Here's how you ought to conduct yourself rather than this other. When we go into chapter 6, we see more of this language of authority in verse 1 and 2, in verse 5, in verse 8, in verse 19 and 25, we see some statements of "don't do," "do not." And again, these are statements of command. And so it should not be surprising to us that the reaction of these who have been listening to Him is a reaction of, "Never a man spake like this man." I know that's another passage, but it's a similar idea here. We've not heard this kind of authoritative teaching from our teachers. And sadly, I have in the past heard similar thoughts from members of the body of Christ today. It's been a long time since we heard a lesson like that with such authority. Now, I will tell you, not in reference necessarily to my lessons, but other lessons I have heard. Jesus spoke with great authority, and I want you to stop and think, it's only right that He spoke with such authority. In fact, it was inherent in who He is that He would speak with authority, because He is God. John chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16. For by Him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through Him and for Him. Maybe that's a part of that statement we don't think about a lot. But all things were created for Him, for fulfilling God's purpose. We've talked about that some as we've gone through the Old Testament in our Sunday afternoon Bible class. He's the Creator. It should never surprise us that the teachings of Jesus come across as having great authority. Doesn't matter what it is that we're looking at. If we go and talk to the person who made that something, who invented that something, who, I hesitate to use the word created because that's kind of make something out of nothing, but we go talk to the one who invented something. We're talking to an expert on that, and he can speak authoritatively in regards to how that is supposed to function, no matter how we may be using it. He knows what it was all about, why it was there. It should be only natural to hear Jesus' message as a message of authority, because He is the authority. He created, and all was created for Him. We read in the Psalm, in Psalm 2 and verse 8, ask of Me, and I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possessions. And there's probably a couple of different ways we could read that context as to who it's talking about. But I think it fits very well, this idea of Jesus. All things were made for Him. All nations were to be submitted to Him. In the last days, the Hebrew writer tells us, God has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom also He created the world. It is only right that Jesus speaks with authority, because He is the Creator. He is the one through whom all things came to be. And it is only right that Jesus speaks with authority toward men in regards to how they ought to live their life. And that gets into what He's been talking about here in the in these three chapters, the gospel of the kingdom. It's instruction on how we ought to live life. And it's only right that Jesus speak with authority in that, because He is our Savior. He's the one that brought salvation to us. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 18, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. And I don't know, maybe it's because I've been reading in the prophets and in Nehemiah and Ezra and all so much. I see the Jewish direction that Peter is going with that. The futile ways of your forefathers, trying to keep a law that was imperfect, that could not bring salvation in and of itself, was dependent upon what was coming in order for it to be effective, completely effective. Not with that, but I can also see the Gentile idea, searching after ways that come from the minds of man, following after gods that they had made up. Peter says these things are futile. But you were ransomed from that, not with the things of this world, not silver and gold, things that would perish, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Christ is our Savior. He bought us through His death. So it is only right that He be the one that tells us what we can do and how we ought to do it. In Christ, Paul told the Ephesian brethren, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace. And that touches on a lot of things, but it emphasizes there that it is the blood of Christ that has saved us. And using that word grace reminds us that it's not something we deserve. It's not something that we earn. It's something that God provided for us. And when somebody provides something for us, it's only right that we listen to their instruction. Well, all I got to say is you live under my house and you follow my rules, and we understand that idea. I'm pretty sure several of us heard that growing up. It's possible we've even used it with our own kids a time or two. Because He's the one that makes the rules. Certainly He's going to be authoritative. He's the one that provided the way. He gave us the safety. The escape. Just like in the days of old with Israel, it was only right that God tell them how to conduct themselves because He's the one that brought them out of the slavery in Egypt. And even again, after they had come into the promised land, He's the one that gave them the land. They literally saw God's work go before them and destroy some of their enemies. The Savior has the right to speak with authority. Paul told the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which He obtained with His own blood. Be careful how you conduct yourself in regards to this group. Be careful in your watch and care over them, because they were bought with the blood of Christ. It's only right that Jesus speak with authority, because He's the Savior. He's the Creator. And so it should not surprise us that in His Sermon on the Mount, He spoke in such a manner that His hearers recognized and acknowledged His authority. But they were surprised, because they weren't used to that. Now, the authority that Christ has, what He has been given, came from God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God. He was there before it all, anything. He existed beyond all things that we understand and now. God is where all authority begins. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse 27, we read, for God has put all things in subjection under His feet. But when it says all things are put in subjection, it is plain that He is accepted who put all things in subjection under Him. When all things were subjected to Him, then the Son Himself will also be subjected to Him who put all things in subjection under Him, that God may be all in all. And I suggest you sit down and you read through that a half a dozen different times and read through it very slowly and pay attention to all those words, because if you read through that fast, it becomes a tongue twister and you get lost where you are. At least I do sometimes. But let me give you an example that will help you understand that. There were times growing up when my parents said, y'all have to do what Dan says. We're putting Dan in charge. Not very often, but every now and then. We're putting Dan in charge because we're going to be gone. So y'all listen to Dan. But I knew, and my siblings knew, that that didn't give me the authority to do something that they didn't approve of. I knew exactly what would happen if we called up all our friends and had a party in the house. They'd know before we got started, probably knowing them.
Mom had spies all over town. I knew that no matter what authority I had, Mom and Dad were still above me in authority. And I suspect all of y'all understand that illustration. That's what Paul is saying right here. God gave Jesus all authority, but that doesn't mean that Jesus had authority over God. God the Father was still in authority over all. He's the one who gave authority. All authority comes from God. And all authority that we have today comes from God. But it comes through Jesus the Christ. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 1, beginning in verse 1 this time. Hebrews chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners, the old King James says, many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. Moses, Elijah, Elisha, Jeremiah, Isaiah. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed the heir of all things, through whom also He created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature, and He upholds the universe by the word of His power. After making purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name He has inherited is more excellent than theirs. And I'm reminded of Peter's statement to those Jews on the day of Pentecost. This same Jesus whom you've crucified, He has made both Lord and Christ. Jesus ascended to sit on the right hand of God. It is through Jesus that all authority comes to us today. When Paul writes to the Ephesian brethren, in Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 20, He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and He seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And He put all things under His feet and gave Him as head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. God worked through Christ. All authority comes through Christ. He's head of all things. He's head of all things in the world. That means no matter who you are, no matter where you grow up, no matter what your background is, if you were born in this world, you're under the authority of Christ. He's the one that makes the rules. You may not like it, but He's the one that makes the rules. And He's head of all things over the church. If you've been added to the body of Christ and become a part of the family of God, you are under the authority of Jesus, who is the head of the church. And we could go over into the Corinthian letter and talk about how each member is subject to the head, to the direction of the head. Everything God does on earth, He's doing through Christ now. He used to speak through the prophets. He used to speak through the head of household, even before that. Now He speaks through Christ. All authority comes through Christ. Jesus said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. But remember what we read in John chapter 6, just maybe last week, maybe a couple weeks ago. John chapter 6 is taking a little while to get through. I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. Jesus is not acting on His own accord. He's acting in accordance with the authority that God gave Him. It all comes from God to Christ. Through the Holy Spirit. God who at sundry times and divers manners spake unto us in the time past by the fathers, or to the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son. That's the adulterated quotation there. But we just read it while we're here. And yes, I quoted the old King James because that's what's in my head. I have to read the other. Christ has all authority. God speaks to us through Christ. But Christ said, I'm going to speak to you through the Holy Spirit. I can speak to you personally now, and I've told you a lot of things he told his apostles, but there's a time coming when I'm going to be gone, and it'll be through the Spirit. The Helper, John 14, verse 26. The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, by my authority. He will teach you all things and will bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Jesus said, when I leave this life, when I go back to ascend to the Father, I will ask the Father and He will send the Comforter, the Exhorter, the Holy Spirit, the Helper, and He will guide you not only in the things that I've already taught you, but in all the other things that you need to know in order to be able to follow the gospel of the kingdom. Let's make that connection back there. In fact, in John 16, verse 12 through 15, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. There were a lot of things Jesus needed to say to his apostles, but they needed to experience him being gone. They needed to see his death, burial, and resurrection before they could grasp them. We've talked many times about how the apostles and followers of Jesus really didn't understand. Just a week or so ago, they wanted to make him a physical king, not his apostles particularly, but those he was teaching. And not only was it not time for him to be their leader, but he wasn't going to be a physical king anyway. And so he disappeared from their midst. He got away from them. There was a time coming, though, when they would be able to hear these things. But Jesus wasn't going to come back and tell them those things. The Spirit would be sent. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is Mine. Therefore, I said that He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. Jesus references back to this fact that God has given Him all authority. Everything comes through Me. But I will have the Father send the Spirit to reveal to you the rest of what you need to know. And when we go to chapter 15, and I know this is out of order, but it fits what we're talking about and helps us better see. Chapter 15, verse 26 and 27 of the book of John, when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, He will bear witness about Me. That's the same thing we read in chapter 14 and chapter 16. There's a little more explanation in chapter 16 about these things. But notice what else He says. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with Me from the beginning. So what Jesus says here is, all those things that the Spirit tells you, you're going to go out and tell them to everybody else. While we read and study and understand from the book of Acts and some of the epistles, there were some miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit given to the general population of the church. There were many of the saints who received a miraculous measure of the Spirit so that they could speak the Word of God, so that they could heal, so that they could speak in tongues even. And we could get over in Corinthians where Paul says, here's the one you really need to be worried about. And it's got nothing to do with those gifts. It's love is what you need to be focused on. But of the gifts, what you need to be focused on more than any of the others are the gifts that allow you to teach. The purpose of the Spirit was to teach the gospel. Even the miracles were for that purpose, to show they were from God. But it was only through the apostles that these things were possible. The Samaritans. They were baptized. They were added to the church, but they'd not received the Spirit. Philip was the one that taught them. Word reached the apostles in Jerusalem, and they sent Peter and John out. And Peter and John came and laid hands on them, and they received the Spirit. Philip couldn't do that. If Philip could, there would have been no need for Peter and John to come down. Now, if you extrapolate that out, when the Ethiopian eunuch left Philip, nobody laid hands on him. He went out to proclaim the gospel without a miraculous measure of the Spirit. Wait a minute, I don't know. I'm just telling you what the text says. There's no indication any apostle ever laid hands on the Ethiopian eunuch. And it was through the apostles that these things would be witnessed. Witnessed both because they had been with him from the beginning, as Jesus says there in John chapter 15, and because they were the ones who would receive the measure of the Spirit that would allow them to know all the things that Jesus had not already taught them. Jesus had all authority. And he spoke with that authority while he was here on the earth. And people were amazed to hear somebody speak with authority. I bet if some of the folks who were in the crowd listening to Jesus speak from the Sermon on the Mount had also been, and I know it's not possible, had also been in the crowd at Mount Sinai when Moses spoke from God, they probably wouldn't have been as amazed. Because they had heard a direct spokesman from God. There's no way that's possible. But I also want to add this point here that gets us back to this idea that the people who were listening to Jesus when he was here on earth, they didn't understand who he was. And that's part of why they were so surprised. Just a few verses back from where we've been studying in the book of John. When Jesus said, I am from the Father sent me. They said, wait a minute, isn't this the guy that grew up over there? Isn't this Joseph the carpenter's son? Don't we have his mother and his brothers here with us today? You see, they still saw him as an earthly thing. And I think that's the same thing that's going on here. They're seeing him as an earthly teacher. Much like the priest and scribes in the temple when he was 12 years old, and even his parents were amazed that he knew the things that he knew and that he spoke the way that he spoke, because they were seeing him as a 12-year-old child instead of recognizing and understanding he was the Son of God. And I think of all of those at that particular time, Mary's the only one that even got close to understanding. These people didn't understand the authority of Jesus because they didn't see who he was. They saw who they thought he was. But his authority is inherent. It is exactly as it should be. And his authority came directly from God. And that same authority is passed down to us through the Holy Spirit-inspired Scriptures. We have the message of God today. You know, the one thing that should have been on the minds of these individuals who had listened to Jesus with this discourse in the Sermon on the Mount, the gospel of the kingdom, what they should have had in their mind was not so much, I'm so surprised that he speaks with such authority, but maybe you ought to listen to what he has to say. When somebody speaks with authority, when we're running away and somebody says, stop in the name of the law, we should stop. In fact, generally, when somebody speaks with the voice of a command, whether they say in the name of the law or not, it's a good idea, at least brought away to attention. Give attention to it. They might be keeping you from running off a cliff, either physically or figuratively. We need to listen to the voice of authority and submit to it. John chapter 12, verse 44, Jesus cried out and said, "Whoever believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And whoever sees me sees him who sent me. I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. If anyone hears my words and does not keep them, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. The one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment, what to say and what to speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. What I say, therefore, I say as the Father has told me." I speak with authority, Jesus says, because I got it from God the Father. To these Jews who were listening to him, "I got it from the one you call the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of Israel. I got it from him, so listen to what I say. I have authority. And my words, because they are words of authority, will be what judges you on that final day." Maybe we ought to listen to what he says. "Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Everything we do needs to be done by the authority of Christ himself, because Christ was sent from God. Christ is the Creator, and he is the Savior. 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 18, Peter says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison, because they formerly did not obey, when God's patience waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which few, that is eight persons, were brought safely through water. Baptism," which corresponds to this, "now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers having been subjected to him." Jesus saves because he paid the price for our sin. And if we want to be free from our sin and we want to enjoy the bounty of heaven, we must obey Jesus. Part of obeying Jesus is imitating his death, burial, and resurrection through the act of being buried in baptism for the remission of our sin. I won't do any good if we haven't been listening to what Jesus has to say and changed our mind, repented, from doing what I want to do. And don't be fooled. Whatever you're doing, if it's not what God wants you to do, you're doing what you want to do. Change from that and submit to the authority of Christ by being obedient to his will. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. Or as Mark renders it, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. Jesus spoke with authority, and his listeners were amazed. We should not be amazed. We know that Jesus is the Creator. We know that He is the Savior. And we know that we need to listen to Him. Everything we do needs to be done by the authority and command of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died on Calvary's cross for our sins. And so the question for each one of us this morning is the same as we expressed, ought to have been the question of those who heard this discourse on the Mount. Will I submit to Him? Now I'm going to tell you, this is the beginning of a series of lessons. We're going to look at authority in a little more detail, how it applies to us. What we need to have is an understanding in regards to authority. Because we finished the Sermon on the Mount, and I thought, here's a perfect place to start looking at some authority. Why we do the things we do. But never doubt. And know assuredly that the only way that we can be positive that what we're doing for our lives and for helping others, the only way we can know that's right is if we're following the authority and teaching of Jesus Christ as it was given to us. And we'll talk about that in a little more detail in the coming months as we continue looking at these things. This morning, I want you to look into your heart. I want you to think into your mind and your inner being and the things that drive you. Are they the teachings and commands of Christ? If not, why not? You know, you're here for a reason. You're not here because you just like to sit in these benches. They're not that padded. You're not here just because you like all of these smiling faces. You're here because you want to serve God. You have a desire to hear His will, to be with brethren, to draw closer to God. So are you following God in your everyday life? Have you been obedient to His will? Confess your belief in Jesus as the Son of God and turn from your old ways to follow the ways of Christ exclusively. And have you been buried in baptism in order to receive the remission of your sins? If you have, then certainly we are glad that you are here. And we hope that you are enjoying the blessings and bounty that belongs to one who is a child of God. But we're also aware that we're not perfect. We sometimes fail, sometimes misunderstand, we sometimes make mistakes, sometimes we get mad and go off in a huff. And if you've done that, any of those things that has caused you to engage in sin in some way or another, pray to God and ask Him to forgive. Turn away from it. Come back to Christ. It doesn't matter how good it may make you feel here upon this earth, if you've got sin in your life, when you stand before God in judgment, Christ's words will judge you. Or are you following His words? And if you find sin in your life and you need our assistance to overcome it, you need us to pray to God on your behalf, certainly we're ready and willing to do that. But whatever the case, give yourself wholly to Jesus and His will. And if we can help you in any way, come and let your desire be known while we stand and sing for your encouragement.